show. This is Cliffo and Gabby's catch up.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Cliffo and Gabby Show podcast.
How often do you go to the supermarket in a week?
Twice.
What's your record? Like highest number of supermarket visits?
Well, see, we do the big shop on the weekend and then we might have a midweek top up. So I reckon honestly probably three is the most.
Would be the most. I'm so annoyed because I'm up to my fourth visit today because every single time.
Not fourth visit today.
No, fourth visit this week. This week. But going today.
You had been. Four times in one day. Like you need to see a doctor.
No, because every time we go, we forget something. Yeah. We take a list, it's on the list, and we still bloody forget it. And so now I'm up to my fourth visit.
Like I remember when I used to work the checkouts at Bilo, you would have people who would just go to the shop every day.
My mum did that when I was a kid.
Literally 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Call into the shop.
Yep. On the way home from school, we'd drop into the shop and mum would be like, what are we going to have for dinner tonight? And I grew up thinking that's how you did it. And now, oh my God, no way.
When I was growing up, we'll wrap this up soon, guys. I don't want it to become a conversation from how we used to shop from yonder. But we lived like 30 minutes away from the shops. So we went fortnightly.
Right.
We would go to the shops, like Woolies or whatever, once a fortnight. And we would we would fill up like a trolley and a half, sometimes two trolleys.
Imagine if it was lockdown and you had to do that. You'd get death stares.
Wouldn't you? I actually need 50 rolls of toilet paper.
I actually do.
It's for a fortnight. I'd like to hear from someone who tried to turn a bad boy good. The ultimate fantasy.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
If this is you, 13, 10, 60. Now, the reason I want to talk about this, you've actually just finished watching Sex Life on Netflix.
Terrible show, by the way.
And they were discussing this on the Today show that happens after Carl and Ali leave in the morning.
Did it used to be called Extra or something?
I don't know. The show ends and it changes a bit, but David Campbell, Jimmy Barnes' son, is there. And they were talking about Sex Life on Netflix, the series. It is pretty awful, like you say. But it's getting lots and lots of views, for obvious reasons.
Lots of interest.
The reason is in the title.
There is a lot of nudity,
And a big theme of that show is the bad boy. Like the bad boy X is pretty much, that's the pivotal plot point of Sex Life. Now, because this show's been so popular, they got on the Today Extra show on a relationship expert, a woman by the name of Wendy Walsh. She's from LA. And I thought she had some really interesting takes on the idea of the bad boy and trying to turn the bad boy good. Have a listen.
And I think that every woman's fantasy is that they will find a bad boy, good genes, high testosterone, exciting, who will actually become a good guy, right? A good dad, a caring mate, etc. So this is the dilemma for these women, is they think, well, I'll just find a bad guy and make him good. But it never works out that way.
Now, that
never works out that
way.
What
I find interesting.
I do too, because a bad boy is not going to stay a bad boy forever, right? There has to be a turning point at some stage. Like, I don't see a 70-year-old in leathers getting around trying to pick up chicks.
You're not going to see an 80-year-old bad boy trying to pick up at the nursing home, like cruising around on his mobility scooter. Hey, ladies.
That has to be a turning point at some stage,
you would think
there?
So. But I find it very interesting. Like, she starts that by saying that it's every woman's... into dudes. It's every woman's fantasy to turn a bad boy good.
Yeah.
And I know you went through that phase.
I went through that phase.
We've talked about that before.
Yes. Rory, if you're listening.
Even his name's
did
a bit bad.
Did not turn him good, that's Rory. For sure.
Roaring Rory. But yeah, Wendy claims that it's every woman's fantasy, but it never turns out that way. Mm. But I'm with you. I think Wendy's wrong. Like you can't be a bad boy for life because it just kind of gets pathetic after a while.
It kind of always was, but yes.
Look, 13, 10, 60, give us a call. You haven't got to have succeeded, but who's done this? Who has tried to turn a bad boy good? Like if you relate to that statement or that question.
Maybe you agree that it never turns out well.
Love to hear from you.
Or maybe you've actually done it.
Oh, God, who's done it? Prove Wendy wrong. 13, 10, 60 if you've tried to turn a bad boy good. Adam, first up. How are you, mate?
Not too bad, Cliff. How about yourself?
Good, mate. I'm glad you called. Yes. So you were the bad boy.
That I was.
I am so intrigued. In what way were you a bad boy?
It was sort of just from when I was real young, just going down the wrong way. I was started stealing,
You were about
as I got into sort of year 9, 10,
jeez,
started getting into the drugs. And once I met my missus when I was about 21, I think it was 22. She just brought me back down, realized that there was, you know, more than the way I was going.
So did she actively do that herself? Like, did she tame the beast, or did you just meet the love of your life and you just...
And you went, well, I want to keep
it. I want to keep this. So you just changed because you were onto such a good thing.
Well, pretty much what you just said then. We've been married now for nearly 12 years.
Good on you, Adam.
So we got two boys.
That's so good, man.
So
the bad boy Adam was tamed.
Adam, do you look at your sons every day and you're like, don't turn out like I did, boys?
Oh, I don't say it to them, but I hope they don't.
Yeah, I bet. Adam, that's a good story, man. Thanks for that. Mia's here. Mia, was this you? Did you try and turn a bad boy good?
Yeah.
Okay.
What happened?
So I met him when he was like in a really rough spot, like probably the worst time to meet him.
Yeah.
He was in and out of court. Mm. He was drinking every other night. He wasn't a good guy. And I kind of put my foot down. I was like, this needs to stop. You want to have a relationship with me? And he was like, yeah. So he slowed down a bit. And then I felt pregnant. And like, do you want to be in this kid's life? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, so this all has to stop. And he stopped it immediately. And he's the best father.
Oh, that's so good.
I was so worried that was not going to be a happy ending, but beautiful.
You were building us up to fail there, Mia, but...
That's lovely. You succeeded.
Oh, good on you. Kayla's
Wendy,
here.
Wendy, a liar.
Yeah, Wendy. Wendy Walsh from America.
Telling us it's not possible.
Wrong. Kayla, you married a bad boy.
I did.
How'd that go for you?
Yeah, really good. We're doing really well, actually. Right. We've just moved towns away, actually. We moved from Toowoomba to Hervey Bay.
Okay.
We're doing really well.
How did you tame him? How did you tame the beast?
I'm not 100% sure. I think he just realized one day how good I was and that I'm nice and was willing to put up with a lot of crap. And I had a lot of patience and time for him. And a lot of people didn't have that time for him unless he was willing to do all of that bad stuff. So I think he just realized, you know, well, yeah, I can't be a bad boy forever. One day I need to pull my head in, and he did.
He realized he was onto a good thing, Kayla, and he was like,
let
this gal go.
You know, you tell,
that's right,
Kayla,
you're
like the lion tamer at the zoo. Yeah. You've done it.
Yesterday, I revealed to everyone that myself and fiancé Nev have been keeping a bit of a secret for the last 10 months that we were trying for a baby, and that I regretted keeping that secret, that I've been struggling a lot without having a support network because we haven't been telling people. And that's why we've decided to be honest about it. It's very rare, though, that the guy talks about how they're dealing, how they're coping, how they're feeling through a process like trying for a baby and not succeeding. And fiancé Nev has agreed to come and tell his side of the story today, which I think is very brave, and we welcome you. Hey, Nev.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Nev. I'd go one step further than that, Gabby. It's very rare for a man just to talk about their feelings at all. So I think it's awesome that you came in today, Nev. Just fast forward back to 10 months ago when this whole thing began, mate. Did you expect that you guys would fall pregnant pretty quickly?
I didn't really know what to expect because the decision come very easily to us to fall pregnant. However, the act obviously has been a bit of a emotional roller coaster to use that cliche, but it's been different in regards to every time you get excited or happy about the journey you're undertaking, that sort of peters out until there's nothing but a downward spiral sort of thing. And it's been hard. It's been really hard watching Gabby go through all the motions and just being unable to be happy about what we're trying to achieve. But,
It has been very difficult, but you've been an amazing support. I did realise yesterday, though, I hadn't even asked you how you were feeling because you were so busy supporting me and how I was feeling. But I could tell you were sad, obviously, because we both want this. I guess, do you, like, you still hold hope? Like you said, it's a bit of a downward spiral, but where are you at now?
Yeah, absolutely. I still hold hope. But, yeah, because we obviously haven't exhausted all our options yet. And
the thing I get, Nev, Gabby kind of touched on it there a little bit, is, you know, and Gabby, this is your words, not mine. You've been a bit of an emotional rollercoaster, which is completely understandable. And Nev, I know the kind of guy you are. Like, you've been working overtime to try and make Gabby feel better, because that's just the kind of guy you are, like I say. But yeah, how are you doing? Like, has it been tough on you?
Yeah, it's been tough on me. But yeah, saying that, like, I'm not the one that does the pregnancy tests and that sort of thing, and paces back and forward in the bathroom waiting for that little line to appear. But yeah, and because of that, you do sort of have to just shut up and listen, really. And yeah, but it has been tough, and I have had aspirations of, like, telling my mother and my parents that this is happening, but obviously we made that decision not to tell anyone, and it has been hard. And yes, I have regretted it, because I have siblings that have gone through similar things. I have a brother that had to go through 5 years of IVF.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does it feel better now that it's kind of getting out in the open?
Yeah, we are feeling better about it, and yeah, like, we can, like, obviously, we can talk more openly about it to people, and people can just approach us about it and give their 2 cents. But
that's good. Yeah.
The support that's come in has been absolutely overwhelming, which has been really nice. It has. Hearing other people's stories definitely gives you that positive edge to move forward, you know, in this journey. I know, Nev, you mentioned, though, it's been really hard to do fun things because, you know, if we're having a crappy weekend, you go out for a meal or something, and that's not always helpful.
No, like, yeah, it's pretty easy when we're having a bit of a blow week that's to cheer Gabby up. We'll go out for breakfast, and sitting across from us is a couple with a baby stroller. And we go take the dog for a walk, same thing. Even to the point where just we had to avoid going down certain aisles at the grocery store because the baby clothes. And yeah, it was triggering.
Going to Meijer and there's just like all these little tiny little shoes.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah. Well, it feels like everybody is pregnant right now. Like, once it's in your head and you go down the street, either they've got a baby or they've got a baby belly. Like, everyone is currently pregnant.
So I guess, and I mean, this is a question for Nev as much as it is for you, Gabby, but what now? What next? Because it's an awful situation you guys are in, and it's an awful situation right now by the sounds of that. Have you thought about that? Like, how you guys are going to move forward from here?
Well, in the short term, obviously, we have the wedding to plan for.
Yeah.
And that's keeping us quite occupied at the moment.
They can be a nice distraction.
Yeah. They are. Yeah. And we are actually taking a break for a few months, because we cannot risk being due on or near the wedding date, because we're not changing the wedding date. I can tell you that right now. It's not happening. So we're just going to give it a little gap.
Be a good show at the wedding, guys.
It would go ahead whether I'm there or not, because we're not cancelling the damn thing. But once, I think after the wedding, that's when we're going to think seriously about whether we need intervention or help, or to see what other avenues we need to look down. Mm-hmm. But for now, it's just continuing doing what we're doing.
Pretty much, yeah.
I did want to ask as well, because Nev has noticed that trying for a baby has become way less fun for me, and trying for a baby has become less frequent. How are you feeling about that?
Certainly, like, putting it on a schedule takes a bit of the passion out of it.
It's not the most romantic thing.
Yeah, I have noticed that. Like, if I'm feeling a bit amorous one night and Gabby will Look at her.
Nah, it's not ovulation time.
Pulled out the calendar.
Not ovulating. Nah, not going to happen. Sorry, buddy.
I guess something you need to be aware of, I guess, hey, yeah. That, you know, you're still two people who are in love with each other and you've still, you know, got each other. And I mean, that's very prevalent sitting opposite you guys today, I think. If any couple can get through this together, it's you two years as solid as a rock. So
we'll be good.
I think it's fantastic that you've talked about this. It's your story, but it's so many people's story. Mm. And Nev, hearing your high vis, like to be a bloke to come along and talk about how you're feeling, like it's so rare, but it's so good, mate. It's so good that you came in and did that. So
yeah, that's all right.
Thanks so much, guys. That's awesome. And if this story, if this situation that Gabby and Nev is in raises any issues for you, you can contact Lifeline anytime at lifeline.org.au or on 13 11 14. You're awesome, guys. Thanks again. Yesterday was a very emotional day here at the Cliffo and Gabby show. And that kind of flowed on throughout the day. Like, people think you finish the show at 9 o'clock and that's kind of it.
You're just like, boop, 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 off home.
Done.
Yep.
Off we go now. Time to Netflix and chill. No, it's not how it works. And Gabby was really, really raw yesterday. And you opened up about how you and Nev were trying for a baby for 10 months and it hasn't happened. And it was really emotional. Was. Not just your story, but then all the phone calls that came through.
Yeah.
And then that sort of stopped at 9. And then the messages on social media came through.
They've been coming through hot
and that
heavy.
Happened well into the afternoon, into the evening. So that was full heckers. And on top of that, and I mentioned this briefly yesterday, my wife and I are going through financing and all that sort of stuff to try and get a new home at the moment. And that is, it's pretty much one of the biggest stresses you will undertake in your life.
It really is.
Financing for home loans and stuff like that. So I had a lot going on in my mind yesterday. And I finally got to the point in the evening where I sat down and I was relaxing. And an emotional.
You're finally able to breathe.
I was finally able to breathe. I sat down on the couch and an emotional ad came on.
No.
And I was like, nope, 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 nope. I'm gone.
It's the straw that broke the camel's back.
And then it looked like I've been chopping 100 kilos worth of onions because I'm all glassy eyed. It's just too much. And I thought, just instead of telling you the ad that came on, I'm going to play it to you because it's going around a lot at the moment. And it's not even that emotional. But it was enough to get me
to dip you over
the line yesterday. Okay. This is the ad.
We met 50 years ago, back in Yaguna. You rocked up in boardies and thongs. Nice one. You've always put
That's
your
the
own
McDonald's
spin on
ad.
Things. You made fries part of our Sundays. And after getting your peas, you made the drive through your first stop. Stop, stop. Good on you. We've That's celebrated sweet. Many birthdays together over now, the years. And now
it's,
ours.
It's that bit there. It's the McDonald's ad, and it's celebrating 50 years of Macca's. And that bit there where the voiceover goes, we've celebrated many birthdays over the years, and now it's our birthday, and there's a little girl celebrating, I would say, like her 7th or 8th birthday, and she's blowing out the candles. Of the Macca's birthday cake.
Like, it's so
mate,
beautiful.
And I thought a bit of myself, well, crying during a Macca's ad, that's me now. That's the way it's going to be for me now, little darling.
Last week, guys, I was asking the question, how do you know when you've found the one when it comes to the wedding dress? Because I'd tried on many a dress and hadn't had that feeling yet. And I was wondering if I was chasing an elusive dream. Mm. We had a call from a girl named Courtney, who was only weeks out from her wedding, but very much stressed us out.
And I've just ordered my second dress and I'm probably 3 to 4 weeks out of my wedding.
Oh! Okay, well, I've got all my fingers crossed for you, Courtney. I hope it's the one. I really do.
It'll hopefully be here by the end of the week, so I'm hoping when I put it on, it'll be that same amazing feeling.
Okay.
God, I hope so.
Changing up everything in regards to the dress, now with 3 weeks to go, we said to Courtney, when this dress arrives and you try it and all that, you have to call us back.
We need to know what the result is.
Our anxiety was peaking. Courtney, we're 3 weeks out from the wedding. The dress has arrived. Are we very, very happy or are we very, very sad?
It's amazing.
Oh! No! That's a win! Oh, this is so good.
When all you right. tried it on, did you have anyone there with you?
My 8-year-old daughter helped me zip it up and stuff because I had to do it really quickly while my partner was out, and it was amazing. Just some minor alterations, but it's, really, 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 really good.
I'm so happy for you. What did your daughter say when she saw Mum in her new dress?
Is this another dress?
Oh, I thought there'd be something like, oh, Mom, you look like a princess.
Nah, eight-year-olds aren't the deepest, are they, Courtney?
Afterwards she did, but she was like, where's the other dress?
Oh, the original one. I'm confused, yeah. Oh, we were so stressed. So did you have that feeling we were talking about? Like the, oh, I've done it. This is mine. This is the dress for me. You know,
definitely.
A bit of a ping inside.
So glad I did it.
Oh, that is such a good story.
What's the feeling
like? Another great bargain, Gabby.
Oh, good. What's the feeling like, though? Explain it to me. Like, is it tingles? Is it hair standing up?
Oh, you just, like, you have little tears in your eyes because you just think, yeah, definitely.
Oh. Well. That makes me so happy for you.
Courtney, as a guy who's not a gambler, not a risk taker, you rolled the dice and, mate, you came up trumps. I'm so happy for you. Thank you for the update, and good luck with the wedding in a few weeks' time.
Thanks for that. Appreciate it.
I'm sure everyone's seen the footage of protests happening around the country across the weekend. The ones in Brisbane, pretty quiet and not nearly as hectic.
A state that doesn't have lockdowns right now?
Yeah, so...
protesting lockdowns. I found that kind of funny in Brisbane.
I did too, but because isn't a lockdown, I didn't object as much because they're not actually breaking rules as such. While in Sydney, it's a whole other story, and it got quite violent. Listen to this. This is one of the protesters having a go at the media.
Oh, you're fake news, you mutt. You're ruining our country. Go back to where you belong in the ground. You don't belong with us.
Very awful.
One dude who's actually standing up against the Sydney Freedom protesters in the most genius way ever. He's a guy by the name of Dan Zach. Actually used to work on radio as well, and he joins us on the phone right now. Dan, morning, mate.
Hey, Cliffo. Hey, Gabby. A lot of people don't like me, hey?
No.
Well, a lot of people do, but...
Look, the people who aren't liking you, you don't really want them to be your kind of people anyway right now, Dan.
It's true.
You put up a post on your social media accounts pretty much to bait some of the freedom protesters, and it was along the lines of, like, if you are participating in the lockdown protests, get stuffed. But you said it a little bit more colourfully. But you did that.
There were four letters.
Yeah, that's right. Four letters. You know what they start with. But you did that with an ulterior motive in mind. Tell us what happened, like what sort of feedback you got from that original post and then what you did with that feedback.
Well, a lot of people were quite mad at it, Cliffo. And, you know, that's the thing. If I set out and I turned around to them and said, hey, would you mind letting me know if you went to the protest? Just want to turn you into Crime Stoppers. probably not a lot of people, you know, are going to reply to that. But I reckon if I just threw it out there the way that I did, there'd be a whole lot of people that had come back being like, well, I was there. Screw you too, Dan Zach. And that's what they did. And then I went, right, gotcha. Submit. Go on. Enjoy your fine, idiot.
So you submitted all of their details if they put themselves in it to Crime Stoppers.
Gabby, that's exactly right. And can I tell you that, like, even as we're talking right now, this was about bang on a day ago now that I did the reveal that this was what I was doing. It's been insane the way they look at it. But the thing is, Cliffo, like, I can cop all of those different things. It's water off a duck's back. But there was one thing that got to me. They called me a soy boy.
And a soy boy. Oh my God. What?
Well, I've got a man bun. If I was about to walk down this alleyway with some of these characters, I want to walk right the other way. They'd probably want to walk the other way too, you know, with the man bun. But if you're insinuating that just because I have a man bun, I drink soy milk, and just because I'm turning you into Crime Stoppers, that's a line too far.
I
drink soy coffee, so I'm offended that you're offended.
And it's awful. And even you say it's awful, Gabby.
I got you, soy girl. I got you. It's all good.
So this was a stroke of genius because police are after
people down.
They are trying to track people down who were there. So for you to just go to Crime Stoppers, hey, look at this guy. He's potentially, you know, one of the morons who was protesting. It's just really smart. And I think it's really sad for the small businesses and that who are really struggling and the people who are struggling in Sydney where you are, Dan. What happened over the weekend, that's not reflective of their struggles at all.
No, it's not. And a lot of people, the vast majority, are doing the right thing. And we are doing it tough down here at the moment. And it's one of those things where these people don't realise that what they're protesting against is going to be extending the lockdown more and affecting their small businesses. So there's so many people annoyed at these people that are misinformed.
And not only that, this could even cause deaths if this Delta strain spreads further. So it's... There's so many layers to this that is just so wrong.
Dan, you're our favourite thing on the internet right now. Thank you for what you did and talking to Cyril this morning, man. Well done.
Cliffo and Gabby, thanks for having me on. Hey, it was a pleasure.
You expect to stay in the old times. But one popped up in my life recently that I didn't know still existed when I received a phone call from my sister saying my nephew had caught mumps from school. Mumps.
The mumps.
He got the mumps.
That's, see, the mumps are so old that, like, I'm aware of the mumps.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you a symptom of the mumps. Like, what?
Well,
it's like getting a cold or?
No. So you normally get the measles and the mumps vaccine when you're a kid, which my nephew did get. Yeah. He's fully vaccinated.
Measles is another one.
But you can still get them at a lesser degree. And what it does is swells up like all your lymph nodes.
Oh,
so it's like mumpy, like it's like lumpy around. Huh. Anyway,
I've learned something.
But
today.
His face grew to like
if there's a doctor listening right now, they're shaking their head
that's
going,
not what it is
this
at all.
Is not but the mumps. You
I know
idiots.
That he was definitely swollen. The poor little guy looked like he had a filter on, like he had a cartoon face going on because his face was all swollen. The poor thing. And he was very sore down his throat because his glands were all up and swollen and he was having jelly for breakfast and ice cream for dinner, which he didn't hate.
From the mumps.
From the mumps. But we want to know 131060, when did an old-timey disease pop back up for you?
Who's had an old-timey disease?
When did the mumps?
You know what? This is how you know it's an old-timey disease. Because the doctor's like, oh, you've got, you know, leprosy.
Scurvy.
Scurvy.
You have enough oranges.
Like, what?
What even
like
is that?
Like, I remember that from history class.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Didn't know
like
it still
I've heard
existed.
Of it, but I didn't know people were still getting it in 2021.
Like tuberculosis. Is another one, right?
I had a mate not too long ago who had shingles.
Yes. Nev had shingles not that long ago too.
You get sore, don't you?
Yeah,
you get it in a part of your body.
Yeah,
you
it's
might
like
have
where
shingles
your nerve
of
endings,
the legs.
Like freak out and you get this huge rash on your body that hurts like hell. Yeah.
131060, give us a call. What old-timey disease did you get? So, and here's an example too, like, and don't ring with this one because everyone sort of gets it at some point, I think. But it amazes me that in 2021, the pox is still a thing. Like chicken pox?
Not smallpox. Chicken pox.
Any of the poxes, mate. Any of
no,
the poxes.
Smallpox is definitely an old-timey one that doesn't exist
Any of
now.
The poxes should not be around. Even the word pox. Got the pox.
But you're right, Sounds chicken old. Pox.
The pox, mate. Who gets the Why are we still getting the pox?
Where's the vaccine for the pox?
131060, give us a call. Tanya first up. Tanya, what old-timey disease did you get?
Now, I didn't, thankfully, but a few of my staff members did. Their children ended up with foot and mouth disease from, we're assuming, daycare, but I thought that was a disease that was in the 1900s.
Yeah, foot and mouth disease
so
has
that
been
like blisters?
Around forever.
Blisters in the mouth and on the feet, is that right?
Yeah, and they get all sores around their face, but I was taken back a bit, so I was saying to even their parents, like, don't touch me, don't touch anything on my desk.
Glenn 20-ing everything.
Brett's here. Same story, Brett. Was it you who had the mumps?
Yeah, I had mumps 1 year when I was a child, and then I had German measles the next year, both on my birthday.
Oh
German
my
measles. So with the mumps, am I right? Is it just like all your lymph nodes and everything swell up?
Absolutely. My whole neck was... you couldn't see where my neck was, basically.
Wow.
It just went from head to shoulder.
Jeez, Brett. The mumps 1 year, measles the
next.
Oh,
wow.
And on your birthday, too. Happy birthday! Shannon's here. Shannon, what old-timey disease did you get?
It was my son when he was 4, so 6 years ago, and it was scarlet fever.
Oh, wow.
What's that? What's scarlet fever?
It's obviously when they get fevers, red rashes, sore throat. So I ended up taking him to ED and I was fighting with the nurse. I was like, nurse, I'm sure he had scarlet fever. And they're like, no, it's so old.
And that doesn't exist.
Comes over, doctor comes over, looks at his mouth. Scarlet fever.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The nurse doesn't even know how to treat it anymore.
Fever.
No, because it's just, you know, the 50s, 60s sort of thing.
Amazing. Thank you for that. Lee's here. Lee, what old-timey disease was it for you?
My daughter had Jeff.
I don't know who this is.
They're like, well, it's an old disease. We'll pull out the cauldron, the paraffin oil.
The Encyclopedia Britannica.
We'll make an elixir. We'll get to the bottom of it.